Welcome back to the Dialect Coach's Corner podcast. We're here with Jim Nuciforo. Jim, what do you do to go and research terms and language for a show from the past?
That is part of my bag of tricks. And I don't know that I can give that up.
Well,
because I do have a method, and it will give other people that method.
Is there anything you can tell us about the integrity that you look to maintain?
Well, we spoke earlier about NYPD jargon, and the jargon within the jargon has changed over the years as the technology changes, as different units develop. Very often I'll be doing a show where maybe we're going to do a flashback, or I'll work on a show that's a period piece that took place in the 70s or the early 80s or something like that. Luckily enough, I do have detectives and police officers from that era that I can reference, I can speak with. And one of them is actually an NYPD historian. His name is Joe Gannon, who is just a font. He knows everything about the NYPD. And I can go to him for much of the information.
One of the things that I'm curious about is there a time where the language that happens on the job, does it ever get brought into the officer's personal life?
I don't know how many officers bring it into their personal life. I assume many of them do. However, to the extent, I am not sure. But within my own family, they use jargon, and it's hysterical because, as I mentioned earlier, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she'll tell me she's going 63, meaning she's having lunch.
That's funny.
Yeah, she knows the rights. My 8-year-old son knows the rights. In our family, yes is always 10-4, and no is negative.
Yeah.
So I'll ask her to do something. She'll say, negative, Dad, can't do it right now. Or my son will, do the same type of thing. I'll say, Jack, did you do this? Negative, Dad. So just with that, it comes into the family. And they become part of the NYPD family. And with the job that I have now as a technical advisor, although I am retired, I still have to maintain close ties with the NYPD because I say that the hardest part of my job right now is keeping up with the NYPD and their ever-changing technology. And they're doing an amazing job, but that's very important because I have to keep things current for the writers, for the show. You know, we can't get stuck back in 1990.
How much does language change geographically in the country? Do you have to keep your eye on that? Right now you're working on a show that takes place in New York City. How much does language change, for example, out in California or Chicago or Florida?
Well, I worked as an NYPD detective, and I can travel 10 miles from here, through a tunnel into New Jersey and speak with a detective in one of the departments in Jersey City or in Newark. And they'll have no clue what I'm talking about, and vice versa. So maybe a few of the acronyms and that type of thing would remain the same. NCIC, National Crime Information Center. Mm-hmm. That is a national computer network. So, of course, he would know what NCIC meant. He would know what HNT, Hostage Negotiating Team. He would know what that meant. But some of the, the terms like RMP, he would have no idea what an RMP is. And in the NYPD, very common, most cops use it every day. An RMP stands for Radio Motor Patrol. And that is the marked NYPD cars that everybody sees on the streets every day.
Right.
And in the NYPD, that's an RMP. A DWI. Okay, people don't know what a DWI is. Well, in the New York State penal law, driving while intoxicated. Many states have driving under the influence.
Right.
For us, if you're intoxicated and you're driving, it's a DWI, hence DWI. We call it a DWI.
Right.
And, somebody in Jersey is just not going to know what that means. House Mouse. House Mouse is a cop who, for whatever reason, never ends up going on patrol. Maybe he knows the commanding officer and he just works in the precinct. He works in that station house every day. So other cops refer to him or her as a house mouse. And most other cops, it's just NYPD stuff. So yes, it varies, like I just said, from department to department.
Now, let me ask you this. What kind of language and jargon changes between beat cops and different detectives?
Well, that's a good point. The detectives know all the jargon of the beat cop because they were beat cops. You know, you just don't become a police officer and become promoted to detective right away, for the most part. I'm not going to say that never happens. It happened years ago. It still happens now, where sometimes there's people in the academy and either the intel division, or years ago it used to be called BASI, was the intel division. They see something in somebody in the academy and they know they can use it. You know, so they pull them out of the academy and they'll put them deep undercover. And they may work for years infiltrating a group or an organization. And then when that is finally finished, they have to go back to the academy, finish the academy training, and then they'll give them their detective shield, their gold shield. So those people will never do a day on patrol. Wow. But that is few and far between.
Sure.
All detectives know the jargon of the NYPD patrol cop, but the cops don't know all the jargon of the detective. Things like dropping prints. A beat cop wouldn't know what that means. You know, a patrol officer. And that simply means that if somebody is already under arrest and already incarcerated, and now you have him for another crime or additional charges, well, it's called dropping prints. You just go down and you enter his prints, say, into the system with the new arrest charges.
Yeah.
So there are terms like that that the officers wouldn't know.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference between official language and unofficial jargon?
Okay. So words such as on the arm, master shield, wood shampoo, tune up, the term banged in, that means you're taking a day off. You say, yeah, I banged in today. Well, those are unofficial terms.
Yeah.
Official terms would be, say, the term RDO. RDO, every cop knows, and it stands for regular day off. Those are your day offs. Those are my RDOs, that acronym. And then they're mostly acronyms. THV, temporary headquarters vehicle. ESU, emergency service unit. HNT, hostage negotiating team. MOS, stands for member of service. SOD, special operations division.
Yes.
TARU, Technical Assistance Response Unit. So we have all these fancy acronyms and nicknames, and those are all official.
So official terminology is used, for example, in reports and on the radio?
Yes.
Is there ever time where unofficial language gets used on the radio? How do cops understand or figure out how to keep those things clear?
The radio communications of today, they are much more professional than they were years ago when I first came on the job.
Right.
You know, you would hear a lot of cops joking around on the radio years ago. You don't get that as much anymore. And there are two reasons. And I like to think that the police officers themselves have become more professional.
Right.
But, you know, it is a tough job and you have a lot of fun out there and you have to have fun. But the radio is not a place to mess around, because at any given second, a cop could be calling for help to save their life. So you used to get things on the radio like they would be calling for a canine unit somewhere. And then you hear cops come on the radio right away going, oh, 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 oh. So Central would come on the air and say, all units cease the unnecessary transmissions. You know, and it is funny. Or you would get something like, there was something we used to call years ago, and it still exists, when you would know it as a flasher. You know, say somebody just exposing themselves on a train platform or in public or something like that. As cops, you know it as a dicky waver. You know, Central would say that, you know, they got this, and, you know, it's a flasher or somebody exposing themselves, you know, at such and such a location. And then you'd hear somebody come back and say, well, do you have a description? And then cops would chime in with, oh, he's about 6 inches tall. That type of thing. Very unprofessional, but funny. I don't know if you can use any of that.
Speaking of humor, what's your favorite story that really reflects some good cop humor?
Well, I have a story, and I was involved in it, and I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good cop humor. It is cop humor, gallows humor, as they call it. And you see things out there as a cop that you want to block out, you know, that you never want to remember again. Mm. For the most part, you do. Can't explain it. You know, right now I can think back. You know, people think about a cop, and you'll see it on TV shows, and people will ask sometimes, you know, do you have those memories that come back and haunt you? And I don't have any memories that come back and haunt me, but I have two memories that I could never get out of my mind. And I'm not going to go into them now.
Right.
And there was one story, and this is not one of those instances, where we were looking for a person who we believed may be suicidal. We're looking for them. Our search took us out to Long Island. And we were looking for them on the side of like an overgrown cliff. I'm there with my boss, and the weeds were maybe 4 or 5 feet high. And I'm walking and looking. And I come upon the person. And it was in the high 90s. It was the midsummer. We had a super long hot spell. And this person is there. Doesn't even look anything like a person anymore. And you could see there was a gun there. They used a gun to kill themselves. So you could see the gun. And the body was there for a few days in this heat. So it's gone through, you know, decomposition. But there were just tons of worms and maggots and flies and all different kind of insects, you know, on the body. And I call my partner over, and he comes over and he's looking, and I'm standing there and I'm looking. And there's, like I said, all of these insects there, and the only thing that came out of my mouth was, "What's eating you?" And till this day, my partner busts my chops about that. And I didn't mean anything disrespectful to that person. I don't know what that person went through,
right?
And I can only imagine, but that's the kind of things that cops come out with. And you know, if there were onlookers there, don't know if I would have said it, and it may have just come out, but that's something that can explode into something, you know, bigger. You know, I didn't mean anything by that, didn't mean any disrespect, just kind of that gallows humor, if that's the right term, that cops experience.
There was something that you needed to express at that moment, and it came out that way.
It just came out.
I'd just like to, before we end, I'd just like to throw some things out and have you talk about how they might be expressed with police jargon. What would you call a robbery of an apartment?
A robbery is the forcible stealing of property from a person. So you can never have a robbery of an apartment, and everybody uses that.
Wow.
It is a burglary of an apartment. Now, if somebody is home and you use force to take that property or retain that property, now it's a robbery, or they may call it, now they have the term home invasion, but it's still not a robbery of the apartment, it's a robbery of the occupant.
Yes.
So an apartment cannot be robbed, a bank cannot be robbed.
Wow.
The people in the bank are robbed, not the bank.
What about a purse snatching?
Okay, a purse snatching is, you have two different things there. It's either a grand larceny. Now that is just, you're walking down the block, you're carrying your purse or you're carrying your bag. Someone comes up and either just snatches your purse, or maybe they slice the strap and then grab it and run. Don't push you, don't shove you, don't hurt you. That's a grand larceny.
Yeah.
Now, if they push you or shove you while taking that property, or you try to retain that property and you struggle with them, now it's a robbery.
Yes.
Because they used force to remove that property while you were trying to retain that property.
Yes, yes. What do you call a suspect who's disappeared?
All right, we usually say he's in the wind.
What do you call a drug deal?
Depends on the type of drug deal. If it's something, a street-level drug deal that's happening on a corner, on a stoop, something out in the open, we call it a hand-to-hand.
What about helping an old lady across the street?
That is called doing your job. And as a police officer, nice. 85% of your work is service-oriented.
Yes.
meaning it's helping people.
Yeah.
Crime fighting is not the largest portion of your job. It's helping people. And I have to tell you, it's the best part of the job, helping other people. And I'm not saying that because we're on the radio.
Yeah.
I really mean that.
Yeah.
And that's what I miss most about retiring from the job, is being able to help other people. And when I first retired, and my wife was great. She was with me 100% on whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
If I wanted to retire, that was fine. If I wanted to keep working, that was fine. I knew she felt that, you know, I did it a long time, had a couple of close calls in my career, pretty much came out unscathed. But after I retired, I was retired a few weeks, and I said, we moved to Jersey, and I live in a small town in Jersey now. And I said to my wife, you know what? I think I'm going to join the volunteer fire department out here. I says, I need that. Yeah, I need to help people. And she kind of just put her foot down and gave me the old, enough is enough. You've done enough. But I miss that. Any yes. chance I get, I will stop and help a motorist on the side of the road.
Yes.
You know, anything like that.
Yes. Well, I got to tell you, it's been a great opportunity for me to share with the podcast audience just a small sample of some of the things that I get a chance to talk to you about whenever we get together. Will you come back sometime and talk to us again?
Absolutely. Jerome, I want to thank you. It was a pleasure doing this. I enjoy doing this. I love telling stories. I love talking about the NYPD. It's a great department.
That's it for now, folks. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember, in the words of the late, great George Carlin, meow is woof in cat.